If you have your Bibles this evening, let's turn to John chapter 10, to the Gospel of John in chapter 10. You remember that after the annual Feast of Tabernacles was ended, we have seen how that the Lord Jesus was preaching and he was teaching there in the temple. And you remember as a result of his teaching and preaching, there was a wide range of reactions. There were on the one hand, some who believed on him, but on the other hand, there were some who wanted to kill him. And so therefore, we saw how that the Lord Jesus left the temple. And as he was departing from the temple, he met with a man who had been born blind. And again, we saw how that meeting resulted in a wonderful demonstration of the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ as he healed that man of his blindness. But that healing also created a difficulty with the religious leaders, and it created a difficulty because of two things. First of all, because this miracle was done on the Sabbath day. And secondly, because this miracle actually gave an illustration and it exposed the spiritual blindness of those religious leaders. And if you will remember, we saw how that theirs was shown to be the greater sin, not because they did not know the truth, but because even though they knew the truth, they refused to accept it. And yet those religious leaders claimed to be the shepherds of Israel, but they were actually just like those who lived in the days of the prophet Ezekiel. If you remember in Ezekiel chapter 34, the prophet wrote, "The word of the Lord came unto me saying, Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel." And as you read the next couple of verses, you'll find that those men who claimed to be the shepherds of Israel, they were actually guilty of feeding themselves while refusing to feed the sheep. They were guilty of caring for themselves while ignoring the needs of the sheep. Rather, instead of caring for the sheep, the Lord God said that they actually ruled over the people. They lorded over the people. And they did so, the Lord said in verse number 4, with force and with cruelty. In other words, these men who claimed to be the spiritual shepherds of Israel were actually nothing more than a bunch of little dictators. And that was the attitude that was seen in these same religious leaders that cast the healed man out of the temple simply because he had believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. Sadly, there are some leaders in churches today who are just like those shepherds of Israel. So therefore, in our text, the Lord Jesus is going to once again confront those religious leaders by giving them two things. First of all, he's going to give to them a parable, and then he's going to give to them a clarification. And so let's notice number one then in our study together, the parable. This chapter begins, as you notice there in John chapter 10 and verse number 6, this chapter begins with a parable. In other words, the Lord Jesus gives an illustration concerning a shepherd and his sheep. Now, you need to understand that in Bible times, a sheepfold was an enclosure, normally a circular thing. It was made of stones. And there was always just one opening, only one opening. Every evening, the local shepherds would bring their flocks of sheep to this common sheepfold. And at the opening, or at the door, would be stationed a man who was known as the porter. And this porter would serve as a watchman, keeping the sheep in the sheepfold and keeping the predators out of the sheepfold. Now, in this parable, we need to understand that there is a representation that is given. And the representation is this: the sheep represented the Jewish nation. And the sheepfold represented the Jewish religion. So therefore, using that analogy, the Lord Jesus now is going to speak of two characters in this parable. He's going to speak of two characters. First of all, notice the criminals. The criminals. In chapter 10 and verse 1, Jesus said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber." Now, as we said a moment ago, at the opening of the sheepfold he was a porter. In other words, there was one there who would place himself physically in the entrance of the sheepfold while waiting for the coming of the shepherd. But there were some religious criminals who would not come through the door. They did not come in honestly, and they did not come in properly. Rather, they tried to climb over the wall of the sheepfold, and the Lord Jesus likened them to two types of criminals. First of all, he likened them to a thief. A thief is one who steals by stealth. He steals by stealth. But there's also a likeness of the robber. And the robber is one who steals by violence. In other words, those religious leaders were not spiritual leaders. We're not spiritual leaders because of God's call on their lives, but rather, as one writer has noted, they were men who were driven by their pride of position and were motivated by their desire for power and their lust for wealth. That was the reason why they chose the profession of being a religious leader in the nation of Israel. But not only are there the criminals, the Lord Jesus also spoke of the shepherd. And there's a couple of things that we find here concerning the shepherd. First of all, his porter. In John chapter 10, verse 2 and verse number 3, the Lord Jesus said, "But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep." And verse 3 says, "To him the porter openeth." Now, remember, in Bible times, as we said before, the porter would guard the door of the sheepfold until the shepherd came to lead his sheep out to green pastures and still waters, as we find in Psalm 23, verse number 2. And in this case of the Lord Jesus, the porter was, of course, the prophet. Was foretold by the prophet Isaiah in Isaiah chapter 40, verse 3 to verse 5. And that prophecy was fulfilled in the person of John the Baptist. You remember we saw back in the beginning of our study in John chapter 1, verse 6 and verse 7, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. And the same came for a witness to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. Bottom line, when the Lord Jesus came on the scene of the Jewish nation, and when the Lord Jesus appeared on the scene of the Jewish religion, he did not come like a thief, and he did not come like a robber. Rather, he came properly recognized, and he came properly announced by John the Baptist, when John the Baptist declared him in John chapter 1, verse number 34, he declared him to be the Son of God. And so we see his porter. Number two, we also see his call. When the porter opened the door for a shepherd, as we noted a moment ago, there would be sheep that belonged to different owners. And of course, through the night, those sheep who belonged to different owners, would mix together in the sheepfold. In other words, they did not practice social distancing. But they would mix together in the sheepfold. And so therefore, when the shepherd entered into the sheepfold, he would use his distinctive call. He would use a distinctive whistle. And in that way, he would call his own sheep to come out from among all of the other sheep and to follow after him. But the Lord Jesus was different. And he was different in this one aspect. The Lord Jesus is a shepherd who is different in that his relationship with those who are his sheep is far more personal. Notice it in verse 3 and verse number 4. The sheep hear his voice, Jesus said, and he calleth his own sheep. Notice it. He calls them, not with a whistle, but he calls them by their name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him. And here's the reason why. It's because they know his voice. Well, that brings us to number 3, and that is his mimics. His mimics. In verse number 5, the Lord Jesus said concerning the sheep, a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of a stranger. Now, I'm not a shepherd and haven't really spent a lot of time around sheep, but I have read that sheep have a natural tendency that they will run away from a stranger. When someone enters in that they do not know, they do not recognize, they try to run away from that person. And so therefore a stranger might try to steal some sheep by mimicking the voice of the shepherd. However, there's another point that we need to understand, and that is this. If those strangers are allowed to stay in the sheepfold, and if they are allowed to mix with the sheep for a very long period of time, before too long, those sheep will become comfortable with the stranger. And in fact, they will become so comfortable that the stranger will no longer be a stranger. And the result is they begin to follow the stranger instead of following the shepherd. Now, sadly, in the days of the Lord Jesus, those spiritual criminals had become so well known. They had been in the sheepfold of Judaism for so long that they had become acceptable to the majority of the sheep. But again, when the Lord Jesus spoke this parable, because of the religious blindness of those religious leaders or the spiritual blindness of those religious leaders, the Bible says in verse number 6, they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. So the Lord Jesus gives the parable. The religious leaders totally did not understand the parable. And so therefore we find number 2, then the clarification. The clarification. In verse number 7, the Lord Jesus said unto them again, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. Now, immediately, you will notice that there's a change here. There's a change. The Lord Jesus had likened himself to the shepherd of the sheep, but now he declares himself to be the door of the sheep. Is that a contradiction? No, not at all. You see, when the shepherd would come to the sheepfold, the porter, whose job it was to open up and allow the shepherd to come on the scene inside the sheepfold, the porter, when the shepherd came, would naturally step aside. And then the shepherd himself would become the door. If you'll remember, that's exactly what John the Baptist had done. Well, he began baptizing, and he was the main man until Jesus came. And then John gave that wonderful testimony that we saw when he said, he must increase, I must decrease. In other words, John was stepping aside that the shepherd might become the door. And so it is here that the Lord Jesus now is going to identify 3 types of shepherds. He's going to identify 3 types of shepherds. Notice, first of all, there is the false shepherd. The false shepherd. In verse number 8, Jesus said, all that ever came before me are thieves and robbers. In other words, before Jesus came on the scene, it was those religious leaders, thieves and robbers, who had come into the sheepfold of the Jewish nation. But as we've already noted, they were for the most part dishonest and deceitful men who did not influence their nation to follow God. Rather, they sought to influence their nation to follow after their own selves. And yet the Bible tells us in verse number 8 that the sheep did not hear them. You see, there is always a faithful remnant. And even though the majority in the nation of Israel were following after these false shepherds, yet the true sheep would not hear them. They were a faithful remnant. Now the Lord Jesus demonstrates how that he is different from all those false shepherds. He's different from those religious thieves and robbers, and he's different in three ways. Notice them with me very quickly. He is different in that, number one, he saves completely. In John chapter 10, verse 9, Jesus said, "I'm the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture." And so the Lord Jesus is different from the false leaders in that, first of all, he brings true salvation. Not only does he save completely, but I want you to notice number two, he secures eternally. In verse number 10, the Lord Jesus said, "The thief cometh not, but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy. I am come that they might have life." This is the very same thing that we saw before, back in chapter 5 and verse number 24, when Jesus said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath," notice it, "everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life." The Lord Jesus, he saves completely, he secures eternally, and then number three, he satisfies abundantly. He satisfies abundantly. Again, verse number 10, "I am come that they might have life," Jesus said, "and that they might have it more abundantly." In other words, the Lord Jesus does not just give life to those who believe on him. He does not just give to them the wonderful gift of eternal life, which guarantees us an eternal glory in heaven, but rather he gives to us even now a life that is truly worth living. I give life, and I give it more abundantly. And so therefore the Lord Jesus declared in verse number 11, "I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep." And immediately after that fearless statement, that fearless declaration that he is going to die for the sheep, the Lord Jesus then spoke of the fearful shepherd. The fearful shepherd. A couple of things we notice about the fearful shepherd. Number one, he lacks commitment. He lacks commitment. Look at it in verse 12. "But he that is an hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming and leaveth the sheep and fleeth, and the wolf catcheth them and scattereth the sheep." The lack of commitment is seen in the fact that as long as everything is going well, he's Johnny on the spot. But as soon as things become dangerous, as soon as the enemies rise up, as soon as the difficulties come, he disappears quicker than a David Copperfield magic trick. He's gone. He's gone. He flees away, and the sheep suffer as a result of his lack of commitment. But not only is there a lack of commitment, there's also a lack of concern. He lacks concern. Verse 13 says, "The hireling fleeth." And here's the reason. It's because he is a hireling and he cares not for the sheep. He cares not for the sheep. Certainly you're familiar with the story of David. And David was certainly the exact opposite of a fearful shepherd. You remember the testimony in 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 34. The Bible says that David said, "Thy servant kept his father's sheep, and there came a lion and a bear and took a lamb out of the flock. And I went after him and smote him and delivered it out of his mouth. And when he rose against me, I caught him by his beard and smote him and slew him." What a courageous shepherd David was. What a courageous shepherd. In other words, David gives to us a beautiful picture, letter C, of the faithful shepherd. The faithful shepherd. Jesus said, "I am the good shepherd. I am the good shepherd." And as such, there are two things that are true about the Lord Jesus Christ. First of all, his knowledge. Jesus said in verse 14 and verse 15, "I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father." In other words, the Lord Jesus knows each one of his sheep just as intimately and just as completely as he knows his heavenly Father. And in order that we might also know him, in order that we might also know him in such a wonderful way, once again, the Lord Jesus mentions his sacrifice. Notice it in verse 15. The Lord Jesus says again, "I lay down my life for the sheep." Well, we're out of time for this evening. We'll continue from here next time. However, if you're noticing carefully, you can see that already the shadow of the cross is on the soul of the Savior. The Lord Jesus knows that in a short time that he is going to be crucified on the cross of Calvary, because he knew that those false shepherds are determined to kill him. And he also knows that those fearful shepherds would never stand with him. In fact, he knows that even his own disciples are going to desert him. And one of them is actually going to curse, and he's going to swear that he does not even know who Jesus Christ is. However, in spite of all of that, the Lord Jesus would not be deterred from his purpose. He would not be deterred from his purpose. The same purpose that we saw stated back in John chapter 3, verse 14 and verse 15, when the Lord Jesus said, "As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life." If you've never trusted in Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, then certainly I want you to understand that this text is a beautiful reference for you to consider. To consider the fact that Jesus Christ died on a cross, and he died there for your sin so that you might never perish, but that you might have the wonderful gift of eternal life. If you've never received that, I hope that you would do that even this evening. And for those of us who are saved, may we ever be thankful for the wonderful gift that we have received. And may we also be faithfully sharing that gift with others, telling them the wonderful story of how that Jesus Christ came to die for the sins of the world in order that we, lost sheep, sheep who've gone astray and turned everyone to his own way, might have the wonderful gift of salvation.